this week, September 2nd, 2014, on The Digital Story. The Olympus Pen EPL7 for socially minded photographers. A DIY LCD shade that you can make at home. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I have a terrific show for you this week. We'll do the weekly update. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the Olympus EPL7, a camera aimed at socially minded photographers and women. So there's some interesting fodder to discuss there. Also talk about a DIY project where you can make your own lens shade for composing off the LCD screen in bright sunlight. And we're going to talk a little bit about Jerry Olsman and Maggie Taylor. And if you don't know these folks, probably two of the best surreal photographers of our era, then you're going to enjoy this week's screening room selection. So let's get to the weekly update. Very flashy, Ricoh unveils Pentax KS1 DSLR. The KS1 offers a 20.1 megapixel APS-C sensor, an AA filter simulator, anti-aliasing filter simulator, as seen on the Pentax K3, burst shooting at 5.4 frames per second, but none of that is quite as attention-grabbing as its headline body specification, a set of green LEDs on the camera's grip and power switch. Now, I don't know if you've seen a photo of the KS1 yet, but this camera is designed for people who do not care about the retro trend. This is a thoroughly modern-looking camera. It's a handsome camera. I like the way it looks. There's been some discussion about the LED lights running down the grip. Personally, I think they're cool. I love them. I mean, any camera that has green LEDs running down the grip, really? I mean, how can you resist that? The specification on the camera is very good. If you're shooting with the Pentax mount and you're looking for a new camera body, I think this one will have a lot of the features that you want. And as I said earlier, if you're someone that wants something brand new that looks different, and when I say different, I don't mean, you know, ew. I mean sharp, you know, sharp, different, modern piece of camera equipment. Take a look at this body. I think they did a terrific job with it. That is the Pentax KS1 DSLR. The source is DP Review. I have a link to their story in the show notes where you can find out more details about it. In other news, Secrets of Backyard Bird Photography has been released by J. Chris Hansen. It's $24.95. This is a book. I love the cover on the book, and I love the idea of, you know, backyard bird photography. I like the idea of cultivating a garden for your flower photography and for macro work, for creating an environment for birds and other animals, for your wildlife photography. I just think over the long haul, it allows you to stay sharp, to keep shooting, to come up with things that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. I mean, sure, it's fantastic to be able to take a whole day and go for a day hike with your camera. I know for me, that's difficult, and I suspect for a lot of other people that is too. So I really relish it when I have the opportunity, but the rest of the time I still want to be taking pictures. And I think this book is geared for those who maybe have a home environment that's conducive to bird photography and they want to get the most out of it. Topics include camera setups and the use of backgrounds and photo blinds, composition styles, step-by-step projects for the do-it-yourselfer, and techniques to attract birds using feeders and perches. It's a pretty cool book. The source of the story was Photography Blog, and I have a link to the book in the show notes. And finally, I talked a little bit about this on The Digital Story earlier this week. Dropbox now offers its pro users 1 terabyte of storage for $9.99 a month. That is a much better deal than we have seen from Dropbox in the past. And in fact, it gets even better if you sign up for a whole year, which is $99. This is for US, $99 annually. Now, a lot of folks will say, well, I can get 1 terabyte of storage for free on Flickr. And you can, and that is a great service. I love Flickr and use it often. But the thing that's different about Dropbox, and this is what I wrote about on the Digital Story, is that it's not just for your photography. It's really for just about anything that you want to store in the cloud or that you want to share. They do have Carousel, the companion app. You do have automatic photo backup for all your mobile devices, but you can also back up raw files. You can back up libraries, you know, your Aperture library, your iPhoto library, your Lightroom library. You can share XLS files. You can share Microsoft Word documents. One of the things that I use Dropbox for is that I have a folder in my Dropbox called PDFs. And inside that folder, I store all the camera manuals and technical reference and all that sort of stuff that I may need. And then that way, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, I can pull up, let's say, the camera manual for my OMD right there on my iPhone. I can pull it up on my iPad, on my computer. I can pull it up on someone else's computer if I want to log into my Dropbox. And that's the kind of versatility that I really like about this service. I've been using this service even before this terrific price drop, and I've watched them evolve. And one thing that I like about, a couple things I like about Dropbox is that they continue to improve the service. It's robust, it's speedy, and you know they're always thinking about, how can we give you more options? How can you control the permissions? How can you control, sharing of documents? How can we make sharing of documents easier for people who aren't Dropbox users? So there's a lot of good stuff going on here. It's not just your photos. And I think they finally come to a point where at $99 a year, that is a good price for a very excellent service. Now, that being said, those of you that are Apple users in the Apple environment, both with your computer and your devices, iOS devices, I anticipate that we're going to see some big improvements with iCloud also. And that should be coming around, I think, that might even be coming around before Yosemite is released. So keep an eye out for that. If you're in the Apple ecosystem and you want to kind of wait and see how that's going to pan out, one thing you could do is just do the $9.99 a month with Dropbox if you need something a bit more robust while you wait and see what else is going on. Either way, I think this is a terrific service, and I'm looking forward to seeing what iCloud does also. And that is this week's weekly update. Story number 2, the Olympus Pen EPL7, aimed at social media photographers and women. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today with this camera. It was released last week, or at least it was announced last week. It will be available in September. And this is the latest Micro Four Thirds camera body from Olympus. And it's interesting because it's really targeted at a couple different types of photographers, people who work online, who live online, and women. And in a very, I think, tasteful way in terms of design and accessories and so forth. So let's talk a little bit about the highlights of this Olympus pen. So it has one-touch self-portraits. And so this is a whole system that starts with the LCD screen itself. It actually can be folded downwards so that it hangs below the bottom of the camera. And then it has a shutter button on the LCD screen, or you can use the regular shutter button. And when you're in self-portrait mode, it has a one-second delay. So that gives you a chance to press the shutter and steady the camera and then take the shot, which I think is a very nice touch. And it has some other pretty cool features also. So it's designed for self-portraits, or to make self-portraits easy. That's one of its highlights. It has a very easy smartphone connection. They've beefed up OiShare, which is the app for both iOS and Android. In fact, 2.4, which is the latest version, I saw it just show up this morning, I believe, in the App Store. And they have continued to improve that app. But what they want to do is make it very easy for any of the Olympus cameras that have built-in Wi-Fi to communicate with the mobile devices, your iPhone, your Android phone, your tablet, iPad, and so forth. By doing so, by making this communication very easy, then people may want to use the added functionality of their camera for their online social photos instead of maybe just relying on their smartphone or their tablet, because you know they can do more creative things with the camera as long as the camera talks easily to the mobile device so that they can push up these images quickly. Now, we saw Canon attempt to do this with the PowerShot N. You know, I like the PowerShot N. I actually have one. But the problem with it, I thought, was that it just wasn't enough camera. You know, it was very compact. It was it had an interesting design. It did communicate well with the Canon app. I thought they did a pretty good job with that. But it just wasn't enough camera compared to the iPhone. The one thing it really did was it had a nice built-in zoom lens. Whereas I think the Olympus EPL7, it's a system camera. So you can go with any sort of lens on there. And I think the lens that's really well suited for this is the 14 to 42 millimeter power zoom lens, the Easy Lens. It's a very compact pancake style lens, has quite good image quality. But it hardly, you know, when you retract it, it hardly adds any depth to the camera at all. It's really a sweet lens, and I think is a perfect lens for this particular camera. So I think where the PowerShot N failed, I think the EPL7 really picks up being a system camera, being a more sophisticated camera, being an easy camera to use, having this really cool selfie function. You know, these are things that I think, you know, is the next generation of this type of camera. They added a couple art filters to the EPL7, which is always cool. And I'm a big fan of the art filters. It took me a while to warm up to them. Of course, now I absolutely love them. And they added a bunch of accessories to the camera itself. Very nice accessories. I mean, very stylish, smart-looking leather half case, leather cover for the lens, nice straps, things like that. So, you know, they really thought through, okay, who are we designing this camera for? Going back for a moment in terms of what they've done inside the camera, one of the things that I like is that they've gone with the three-axis sensor-based image stabilization that we have in the Olympus OMD EM10. And this is a really good image stabilization system. It's an improvement for the pens. And where it really helps with the three-axis is especially when you're holding the camera up one-handed to do a selfie. This new stabilization is really like, boom, it's perfect for one-handed camera of photography. So I thought, again, you know, even under the hood, they're really thinking this through. Okay, this is a camera. We're going to flip down the LCD. We're going to have a lot of features that make self-portrait photography easy. Well, we want to make sure they get the best shot possible. So, you know, let's have a lens that works well for this, like the Power Zoom. And let's have image stabilization that's well-suited for one-handed photography. There's really good burst rate on this. So it has a pretty good engine underneath. You can do 8 frames per second, and that's up to 20 RAW files or unlimited number of JPEGs. I suspect a lot of people that use this camera will be shooting primarily JPEGs, but you always want that RAW file option for when you need it. Really terrific, you know, the standard 16 megapixel Micro Four Thirds sensor, has a TruePic 7 image processor, 12-bit color for the RAW files, ISO to 100, from 100 to 25,600. So, I mean, you know, it's a substantial camera. Now, the EPL kind of debuted as the Pen Lite. So you had the original Pen camera, which was a beefy kind of well-specified metal camera. And then they decided they wanted to offer something, Olympus wanted to offer something that was, you know, a little more affordable. So they came out with the Pen Light. And the original, the earlier versions of the Pen Light were a little clunky looking, I thought. The design wasn't that good. And I think they were really trying to distinguish between the Pen Light and the flagship pen. So definitely the Pen Light did not look as good as the flagship pen. And then they introduced a third pen a little bit later, which was the Pen Mini, which is a cool little camera that I like a lot. Well, what's happened with the Pen Light, you know, sort of the middle sibling of this family, is that Olympus finally, I think, stopped saying, okay, it can't look as nice as the flagship pen, or it can't be as well specified. I think they finally let go of all of that and said, let's make this camera as good as it possibly can be. Let's not hold back. And I feel like they did a similar thing when they designed the OMD EM10. Again, it's a more affordable camera than some of the other cameras in the OMD line, than all the other cameras in the OMD line. But yet, I don't feel like they held back. I felt like they just tried to make it the best camera they possibly could and at a great price. And that's where we're going now with the Pen Light series. It's no longer a compromise camera. It is a camera that has a mission. And its mission is to appeal to female photographers, which I think it will because it's beautiful, and to appeal to folks that take a lot of selfies or want to publish easily online, want a camera that carries around without taking up too much room in a day pack or a purse or, you know, whatever you happen to be carrying. So it's finally in focus, isn't it? It's finally, they finally, after all these generations, I think they found the niche for this camera, and I think it's going to do well. It'll be very interesting, you know, to see how it all shakes out when it's all said and done. It's still not going to be an inexpensive camera. You can get it with the 14-42, the bigger of the kit lenses, for $699. I'm looking at specs right here. Or you can get the body alone for $599. What I think people should do is get the body with the 14-42 easy zoom lens, the compact zoom. It's a little bit sharper anyway than the bigger lens, and it's definitely more compact. It's just a more modern lens. The thing about it, the easy 14-42 easy power lens, now when you're using Olympus OI Share, you can actually control the zooming and do all sorts of stuff remotely with your smart device. I mean, it's just a cooler lens all the way around. So it's not cheap, is the bottom line there. Just the body alone is going to cost you $599, but it is fully fledged system camera. We'll see how it goes. But I like it when camera manufacturers, Olympus, Sony, Panasonic, you know, these folks that are really thinking a lot about their cameras right now, when they design a camera with a clear intent and then try to execute the best they can on that. And I feel like that's what Olympus is doing with this camera, and I wish them the best of luck with it. Okay, let's take a stroll over to the screening room. Today's selection is, I think, special in a lot of ways. It is one of the Lynda.com documentaries featuring Jerry Olsman and Maggie Taylor. He was the guy that really first blew my mind with photography. And this is before Photoshop. He's the guy that will have a print that has these magical tree roots going up into a building, like they're all part of one thing. He loves to create surreal images that tell some sort of story that are beautiful to look at. It's magical. Magical is probably the word that that comes to mind for me with his work. And he does all this work in a darkroom. He's got, if you've ever, in fact, you get to see the inside of his darkroom as part of this title. And he has all of these enlargers there. And he photo manipulates these things in the dark room using enlargers and masking and very sophisticated and amazing technique. What's interesting is that he's married to another amazing photographer, Maggie Taylor. She started using flatbed scanners to create these surreal images. And then she does use some Photoshop and creates some very interesting work herself. So what lynda.com has done with the screening room selection is that it's about both of them, and they're both interviewed. You get to kind of compare how they approach their work. You learn a lot about their technique, what's going on in their minds. I like it. In addition to the photography itself, I love the images that both of them create. But beyond that, I find it inspiring to always be pushing and thinking about new ways that I can create images. So I think it's going to be very enjoyable for those of you that have time to watch it. The intro movie, the one that we linked to, is quite good and will tell you a lot, just like right off the bat. And you can watch them in action. You can see this, you get the link to the movie and everything by going to the Digital Stories screening room. It's at lynda.com, lynda.com/thedigitalstory. And while you're there, if you wish, you can start your 7-day free trial to watch all the other design, photography, and computing titles, plus every other topic in the library. This is really cool stuff, and I hope you have a chance to take a look at it. Story number 4. I have a DIY project for you this week, a do-it-yourself project. So I'm working on this series of articles for the lynda.com Article Center, which is really shaping up to be a good resource for not only photographers, but people that are in design and, you know, other areas of creativity. And the series that I'm working on is three articles of a do-it-yourself nature. You know, not all of them are do-it-yourself. Sometimes they're just kind of clever things, alternative ways to do things. But this first article is up, and I think the feature piece of it is a little lens shade that I designed for my cameras that have LCD screens only. And one of my favorite cameras that has a LCD screen only is my Olympus Tough, the TG1, which I end up using outdoors in bright light a lot because it's, you know, it's that kind of camera. And it's just hard. We all know this whenever we're trying to compose a shot on an LCD screen outside on a bright day. It's hard to really see what you're doing. Just that sun is so bright, and the LCD screens have a very tough time of, you know, rendering an image. You can purchase and carry around a big Hoodman loop attachment. They're quite nice, and actually I use the Hoodman loop for my DSLR, for my Canon 5D Mark II and my 70D. But, you know, that's a big kit. Like, I'm carrying around a big kit already. When I'm shooting with those cameras, then I'm not thinking compact. I'm thinking, you know, I need everything here that I need to get the job done. And so carrying around that kind of that bulky Hoodman loop is not a problem because I got room in the bag for it. I mean, when you have a 70 to 200 millimeter f/2.8 lens, Canon lens in a bag, you've got room for a Hoodman loop. So there I don't mind carrying around. But the problem is that loop, if I carried around with my TG1, it's almost as big as the camera itself. And it's definitely thicker. That's not something that I really want to do. I want to come up with something different. So this DIY project is, I basically just took a black cardboard jewelry box. I think this one had a money clip in it. It's the kind of box that most of us have laying around the house somewhere or stuffed in a sock drawer somewhere. And I cut windows in both the top lid and the base of the box that was the size of the LCD. And then the box started out as black, and then the areas on the inside that were white, I just blacked out using black gaffer's tape and a Sharpie for those little corners that needed it. And then the cool thing about it, since the window is both in the lid of the box and the base of the box, then I can slide that lid up a bit and just use a little bit of gaffer's tape on each end and extend the depth of the shade. So when the lid is flush against the base of the box, it's one depth. And then, but I can make it even deeper. And this thing works. You take it out in the bright sunlight. You know, you just hold it up against the LCD with one hand, and then you're, you know, pressing the shutter button with the other hand. And it is so much easier to compose the shot. It's just so much easier. In the spirit of economy, I realize that even carrying around a 3-inch cardboard box is taking up extra room in your camera bag. So I wanted to have it have a use even when it wasn't being a shade. So if you keep those cutouts that you use to make the windows, trim just a little bit off the edge, turn them the other way so that they kind of create, so they close the window a little bit, so to speak. Then what I did was I stored a battery in there, a microfiber cloth, and a couple of memory cards. Just put a rubber band around it or use gaffer's tape on the edge to hold it close. And now I have an entire accessory kit that fits inside, you know, this 3-inch box. That then when I'm in bright sunlight, I just, you know, dump the accessories out into my bag temporarily and use it as an LCD shade. It's really a lot of fun. It's easy to make. I show you all the tools and everything in the article. I have a link to the article in the show notes, and the name of the article is Photography Hacks, Make an LCD Shade, Battery Protector, and Lighting Field Kit, and it's at the lynda.com article center. Just go to the show notes, and the link will take you right to the article. It's a lot of fun, and I hope you have a chance to give it a try, and stay tuned. I got a couple more of these articles coming. Okay, let's get to a little virtual camera club news. Let's start out with the Sizzlepix September discount. What Sizzlepix is trying to do is get people ordering their gifts a bit earlier instead of waiting to the last minute. And of course, a Sizzlepix gift is fantastic, right? The recipient opens the box. Not only do they see an image that probably means a lot to them, that you selected for them, either by you or something, maybe even that they photographed and you got the file for. But then it's on this amazing polished aluminum surface, maybe something like they've never seen before. So it's the double whammy, and it makes a great gift. So what Sizzlepix would like you to do is, instead of waiting last minute, maybe order in September. And so they have created this very clever discount. So order early starting today. And for every day between now and the end of September, Sizzlepix will subtract 1% from the cost of your order. So if you order right away, for example, you can get 28% off your order. Now, if you wait a week, then that's going to go down, right? All the way down. Like on the last day of September, you're not going to get much of a discount. So they want you to order early is what they're doing. And all you have to do to claim this discount is put TDS September discount in the comments field. So that is a pretty slick offer. Brand new, creative from Sizzlepix. And remember, this is like a retina display you can hang on your wall. Sizzlepix.com, and they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Now we're into a new month, which means we have a new photo assignment, which is sponsored by Sizzlepix. And the photo assignment for September is Shot from Behind. Shot from Behind is the new photo assignment. And of course, one of those participants will be selected as the Sizzlepix pick of the month. Yes, they'll get a free Sizzlepix. But just in case you're not that winner, you might want to take advantage of the discount. And then Red River Paper, they've just released, as I mentioned last week, the Luster Card Duo. It's a double-sided luster paper, pre-scored, 4 cards. And it's related to Arctic Polar Luster, but the surface is more pearlescent. Would be a fantastic surface to use for a holiday gift card. Again, let's not wait until December 15th to start working on this. So you can order your paper, any ink cartridges that you need, get it now. Have it at your home or your studio ready to go. At Red River Paper, you can get all of this. You can even get the envelopes. You can get glassine sleeves. Everything you need, get it in your place now. So then when you have a few moments to work on your holiday projects, all your supplies will be there. And there's a tile on all the pages of the digital story for Red River Paper. And they have a rockin' Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. But again, just like with the Sizzle Picks, don't delay on this. Don't wait until late November to start ordering your supplies. Get them in your place now, so when you have some time, you can work on these projects. What else we got here? Well, if you haven't done so already, please review this podcast in iTunes. I like having fresh reviews. And those of you that have taken the time to review Digital Story in iTunes, I so appreciate it. I just, you know, I know that we just don't have time to do a lot of these things right now. So taking time to do that really means a lot to me. And thank you so much. And finally, if you're ordering through B&H or Amazon, please click on the respective ad tile under the products header in the box halfway down the second column. It's labeled products. There'll be an ad for Amazon. There'll be an ad for B&H Photo. There's an ad for Linda. All of those ads. Doesn't make any difference what the actual ad is. Just click on it first. And then once you're to the site, you can search for whatever you want. That helps support the site, and I really appreciate it. And that's going to do it for this week. So I hope those of you that are in the U.S. had a terrific three-day weekend, had a good Labor Day. The rest of you, I hope you're having a great start to your week. I have some great stories for you next week. I'll be back. Until then, have a good week. Bye-bye now.